Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. It is a sad day for tenants. We delve deep into the RERA calculator index update. We also spoke about the new way scammers are trying to dupe you and the measles case found on the Abu Dhabi flight.
And so we would really love if you would subscribe to the Love in Dubai Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And don't forget to enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai Show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Our top story for you today, the new way scammers are trying to dupe you.
As well, a measles case was found on an Abu Dhabi flight.
We're talking about the real Ramadan hero in Dubai.
And why a lightning strike over Dubai? Dividing opinion, of course.
Also, we are going to have a sit down with an expert to talk all about the latest RERA calculator index update and how it will affect tenants.
As well, it is day 160 days since the genocide began in Gaza. And according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip, the death toll has risen up to 31,272, while 73,024 have been injured and more than 1.9 people have been displaced from their homes. Now, the Dubai Iftar time for today is 6:31 p.m. You can find up-to-date prayer times on Love in Dubai website.
Good morning to everyone tuning in on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and also our podcast listeners. We love to read your comments before, during, and after the show. McGinns8399. Oh, McGinnis. I always get your name wrong, McGinnis. I don't know why. She said she can't hear us. So if anyone else has audio issues, drop it in the comments and we'll try and fix them. We were having a little bit of tech difficulties, but we're live. We're here. We're morning.
Good morning.
We are here.
We are. Which is what matters. But I want to tell you about something, Casey.
Go.
So, you know, it's Ramadan, right? And we are fasting, sleeping, working, and we are exhausted. And you think that this is, oh my God, I have a lot on my plate. But then I was on TikTok and I saw how can Taylor Swift pull off such a lifestyle. I mean, performing for 3 hours, flying back and forth to see her boyfriend, and a lot more.
But let's be real, she's not fasting.
She's not fasting.
I mean, okay, fine. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Casey. You're giving me the reality check, because actually when you're fasting and you're not eating, your brain just shuts off. But still, even if I am eating, I wouldn't be able to do what she does.
But can we recognize the fact that Taylor Swift is not only is she a performer, she's basically an athlete.
She is.
At the peak of her game. And sometimes we look at Cristiano Ronaldo, people call him a machine. Taylor Swift is a machine. Apparently, she's doing 44 songs on a treadmill, not taking a break. She's running 3 hours and 15 minutes. And what were you saying? Like, she ups the tempo, she drops it depending on the song?
Yes. What she has done is that I was so, like, interested, you know, because I want to be Taylor Swift. Of course, I don't want to be her. I can't sing, but I would want to have her stamina, of
her boss energy.
Exactly, her boss energy and how she runs and sings as if like there's no tomorrow. And I googled, and apparently through an interview, she has said that before her Eras tour, she would run for 3 hours while singing her full song list.
But how can we, I get that, but how can we also be surprised by that? Because as you've said before, on stage, it is a 2 to 3 hour show.
Yeah.
You know, she's not pulling a Kanye, going out for 5 minutes and leaving. She's got a long set performance and she's got outfit changes. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, singing at the top of her lungs. Like, of course she has to put that in.
She does. But then again, like, I just can never, I mean, I go for a walk after like an hour, and it's a walk. It's a walk, you guys. It's not even a run. After 1 hour, I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I need to go back home. And I just like, and I don't know. And apparently she jogs for slow songs.
Yeah.
And runs for fast songs.
So what are we doing here? We compare yourselves to
Taylor,
like peak performer, athlete, superstar. But her work requirements are much different to yours and mine. So if it was required, and if we were going to make millions and millions of dollars and also pursuing our passion and making a lot of people happy.
Yeah.
Would you put in that? I'm sure you would. And of course, yeah. if it came naturally, if it was a natural progression. Or right now, if I said, hey, Farah, you can be Taylor Swift, you can perform in front of millions, the world will love you, you can do no wrong, you'll have all the money and all the riches in the world, and hopefully you're happy if you put in this groundwork. Yes
that
or no?
That is a very tricky situation. But again, like there are... Crazy. Because like there are other performers, you know what I mean? Like she is
Ed Sheeran.
Exactly, for example.
Like stands with his guitar.
Yeah.
But he's great, we love Ed.
I think at this point, Taylor Swift, if she is watching us, she would for sure be like, oh, I am loving Dubai. But for, I mean, just like, I don't know, it's just like a very...
she's definitely not saying that.
You never know.
She has to come here and then I will believe Taylor Swift saying that.
I would do anything for her to come here. Anything. But aside from that, I think that she literally, like, because she did say that she re-recorded all of her albums.
Yeah.
And she wanted, and she called it the Eras Tour because like she recorded all of her albums and she is singing it all, you know, like I think a few songs from every and each album just to give her fans the experience.
Love that.
And she said, you know, I read yesterday, she was like, because of her fans and she recognizes, you know, because of it's due to her fans that she is here, that she will go on stage and give the best performance no matter what happens, even if she's sick, even if she's tired, even if she's exhausted. And she said that she would like work out like that severely, but for her rest days, because of course our bodies need rest, she would stay in bed and not get up unless it's like an emergency.
She is a
top
peak
tier.
Performer, top tier. It's 8:41. Let's jump into our top stories. People who are not top tier.
Yeah, so scammers are everywhere. However, scammers are now using video calls to dupe you. Of course, almost every Dubai resident has been exposed to either scam calls, emails, messages claiming to have your information or that you need to update your information and even send you documents that can be as believable as the original documents. But it seems like scammers are now using video calls all in hopes of making it believable.
So, every now and then, actually quite regularly, people will send us the scams that they get and they DM it to us on Instagram. Thank you always so much for sending those through to us. Generally, it's like a letter from Emirates Post or a message from Dubai Police. But in this case, someone sent us this video and we want to make you aware that authorities will never contact you by video call. They especially wouldn't be wearing a mask when they do it. So if you get a video call and you think, oh, because it's a call, it's more believable. It's still a scam. This is never going to happen. They're doing it to further intimidate you, basically.
As well, always make sure to report the police, either through their e-crime service or just dial 901, which is the case because a lot of actually scammers are around. You know, as I said earlier, it can be through a message, through WhatsApp, even, you know, through a call. But I never imagined that it would reach the level of video call. I
mean, calls, emails, yeah. WhatsApps. Mm-hmm. The freakiest one I ever got was a call and then they said they're Dubai Police. So I needed to go down to the station to do something. And I guess it was about, a year or two ago? And they said, oh, we're just going to message you to verify us. Because I was like, this is a scam. And I got a message that said Dubai Police from it. And that really freaked me out. And I was like, how do they do that? And especially if I have a video call and I'm a bit unsure. And then they say, okay, we're just going to send you a message from Dubai Police. It could be very
believable.
It could be very believable, but
yeah.
Dubai Police are never going to call you like this. Also, that uniform is whack, and they're not going to be wearing a mask to hide their identity. So, just a little update on scammers. Only follow official channels. If you get like an email, make sure that the email is from a registered email domain, not like at crazyface.
100%. 977. Just report them. You know, and by the way, the e-crime website replies to you really fast because I have reported a crime through the e-crime's website.
They're really good.
And they are really fast and very quick because I remember I got a scam and I thought like, oh my God, what am I going to do? The website's going to take so long. They're not going to reply to me. But they did.
Yeah, they're super on the ball.
They are. which is honestly amazing. So now let's jump to our next story. Amiso's case was found on Abu Dhabi flight. Amiso's case was diagnosed and caught on Etihad Airways on the 9th of March on a flight from Abu Dhabi to Dublin, and passengers on that flight have been asked to look out for symptoms of measles. Now, the Irish Public Health, the agency initially disclosed that they were informed of a verified measles case in a resident who traveled abroad, Etihad Airways flight EY45, and as well the previous Saturday.
Passengers from the flight have been strongly encouraged to monitor themselves for measles symptoms, particularly those considered high risk, such as pregnant women, individuals with compromised immune systems, and also infants, and to reach out to health authorities if symptoms arise.
Now, some of the symptoms that we all need to look out for, cold-like symptoms, such as a runny nose, sneezing, and a cough, sore red eyes, that might be sensitive to light as well. Now, watery eyes, swollen eyes, high temperature, fever, which may reach around 40 degrees, as well as small grayish-white spots in the mouth, ashes and pains, and as well loss of appetite.
So if you do know anyone flying on that flight in particular, keep an eye out for those symptoms, particularly, as we said, if you're in the vulnerable groups, such as pregnant women, people with compromised immune systems, and also infants. It's 8:45. We're going to jump into our next story. And also do stay tuned if you want those updates on the RERA calculator, because we're going to have that later in the show. So today we are acknowledging a hero. And if you know, you know, this man is the ultimate Ramadan star. Every year, he is the man who lights up your TV screens and fires up those iftar cannons so people can begin to break fast.
I mean, I can confirm Ramadan is nothing without this guy, as we wait with anticipation daily for the signal for him to fire up the cannons. I mean, I remember him ever since childhood. Casey, I'm not even joking. My sister and I would open the TV and we would stand like, you know, like very close to the TV and just wait for him to be like, it's like, oh, vroom, and then it's like, yeah, yeah. And then it's like
the salute, and everyone marches. And it's got that like that nostalgic sense as well. And it's all over TVs. And when you go to iftars, they have it up on the big screens as well, which is really nice. But this is a man who therefore isn't breaking fast with his family, so he can acknowledge it and make sure that you break fast with yours at the right time. Because wasn't it traditionally that obviously when people didn't have clocks, how would they know the exact time?
They would know from like the Adhan. You know, it's like when the mosque goes like Allahu Akbar. But traditionally as well, it's like a tradition between like families. It's like, oh, you know, like open the TV. And this guy would pop up on my TV because like he is, you know, he pulls up the cannon based on the Dubai timing. And we would all like sit there. Like my sister and I remember we would stand very close to the TV and just like wait for him.
What's your favorite Ramadan tradition?
My favorite one is watching the guy pull the cannon.
Do you still do it?
We still do. We have it just like on, you know, TV.
It's always there.
It's just like it's a thing that we have been doing for so long, ever since I was like a baby. And I remember that so vividly and so well with my sister. So it's still a thing, even though we do as well, you know, here. Thank God we live next to a mosque. So we do hear like the Allahu Akbar, and then we fast on it. But then we just wait for him. Just for like, I don't know, it's like a confirmation, like, hey, we can eat now. And it's just like amazing. It's like, it's very heartwarming. It's a tradition. That is my favorite.
Okay, let's jump into our next story. This is dividing opinions. So people think this lightning strike looks like Palestine. So a lightning strike lit up over Dubai last week. And some internet users are suggesting that it looks like Palestine, while others, not so much.
So now some citizens jumped onto social media this week to highlight the similarities of the strike that hit over Dubai and a map of Palestine. But the conversation is causing much debate, you guys. You can look at it. Tell us, what do you think? Do you think that this looks like Palestine?
So what the comments are saying, a lot of people will say, okay, so yes, the eyes don't lie. That's what Princess Michelle said. She said, this is what we see. Peace in Your World said, yeah, even the sky is crying for help for Palestine. While others said, I do believe in signs, but even if this is not an edit and it is real, this is absolutely a sign to help. While other people just said Dubai just doing Dubai things. And then Wine Your your whiskey said on following your page. So mixed bag of feedback there on this one.
Now, because it's Ramadan, of course, and we all follow God. So someone said, how many signs will you deny?
Which do you think it looks like, do you think it's the very same?
I think, yeah, I think it is very similar, you know, and I think if people would want to believe that, they should believe that. Because like right now, I think the issue of Palestine and the discussion of what's happening in Palestine, it's a wide discussion all over the world, you know what I mean? Whether you are, let's say, acknowledging of what's happening in Palestine and the history and so on, or whether you're not, I think it's just like widely known. So I think people are just like acknowledging it because they are aware of, let's say, they just want to believe like, hey, God is with us. God is giving us signs. I mean, at the end of the day, we all believe in spiritual signs. Like, oh, there's a fly, there's a butterfly. So it means good luck. Or there's a pigeon on like next to my, window. So it's getting me good news. I mean, like these are little things that we take as signs. So why not take this as a sign?
I wonder how many people truly believe in signs.
I do. I really do.
I don't know if I don't really.
But this
I think is separate because I think it's nice to have the conversation on it.
Yeah.
But signs in general, do I truly believe that if a butterfly lands, I don't know.
Look, the thing is,
I like the idea of it. And I like the idea that someone is watching over me. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
But for things to happen, I think there's good signs and bad signs. I just don't have a strong sense of spirituality.
Look,
maybe
I
should explore it more because I love the idea of it.
It is. I'll tell you something. Because like if this, you can believe it and not believe it. But if you believe it and it brings you happiness, even if someone else does not believe it, but it brings you happiness, let it be. You know what I mean? And if this
100%,
actually...
100%.
Literally.
100%.
You know what I mean?
And I think we all have ways to find whether... Yeah, we all have ways where we can find things that we truly believe in.
That's
and if
true.
It's a sign, if it's a self-help book, if it's, you know, further education, whatever works for you. And if people believe in science, by all means, I support
100%,
100%. It. 100%. But speaking of finding things that brings us good news or finding things that bring us bad news, we're going to jump into our interview. We have an Ask the Expert segment coming up. Your RERA calculator index questions will be answered. This was an update that happened on March 1st. Mm-hmm. Big news for tenants and also for landlords. What it means for you, do stay tuned. We're going to have a guest right after this break. Welcome back to the Love and Dubai Show. Today's guest is Jake Walton, Leasing Director at House & House, here to discuss how the RERA calculator index update and what it means for tenants and why landlords might be, what is that, wringing their hands with glee? guys, welcome to the show. Thank you so much, Jake, for being here. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me. Yes, very good, thank you. Yes, how are you?
We're all good. Yeah, we are. We're going to figure that out after the interview, because I think we have been worried ever since the news. So, of course, it feels like tenants have got some bad news. If you can just further explain about the RERA, index update.
Okay, yeah, basically. So, for a long time now, probably around 2 years, the market averages haven't been updated on the index calculator, which has meant that tenants have had the luxury of paying lower rents. And the landlords haven't been able to increase as per the market averages. So the big change is now that has been updated. So the market averages are now reflecting the true market average, which means that when it comes to renewal this year for a lot of tenants, they're going to be there's going to be an increase in their rent.
What actually is, you know, whenever I see conversations on Facebook groups and someone's like, can my landlord do this? Is he allowed to do that? Is she allowed to do that? And they're like, check RERA. Yeah. What actually is the RERA calculator?
So it's accessible to anyone. You can go on the DLB website, just Google it. It'll come up straight away. You can access it now within a second. Input your tenancy contract end date, what you live in, whether it's an apartment or a villa, number of bedrooms, a location, and it'll tell you if you've got an allowable increase or not. But there are restrictions around as to whether the landlord can actually increase.
Mm. So how often does the RERA calculator get updated?
It's supposed to be annually, but it doesn't actually happen that way. So it's been a couple of years since it was last increased. And obviously, because the market has risen so drastically in the last 2 years, it's a real big change now.
And yeah, it's very significant. Mm. And do you think it's going to benefit landlords or tenants?
Well, it's sort of a win-win for landlords. They're either going to get an increase in the rent as per RERA, but it doesn't increase to the market rate. So it's a percentage of the market rate, basically. You can't increase just to the new market rate. It'll be staggered. But they will most likely get an increase in the rent, or the tenant will not be able to afford the increase and therefore vacate, and then they can get the genuine new market rate with a new tenant. So it is a win-win situation, probably for the landlord. It might push tenants a little bit further out into communities that are a little bit further away. Gone are the days of maybe the 20-minute drive where you are close to the mall or the marina or the Burge or your place of work. You might have to find accommodation in communities a little bit further afield. So yeah, there might be some compromises to be made, unfortunately, in the year ahead.
Now, with this update, are there like specific locations that are going to be, let's say, impacted, or let's say, is that going to be benefiting like landlords, like in specific locations?
Well, those that have seen the biggest increases. On average, I think the rents went up by something like 27% in 22 and 19% last year. So on average, it's gone up everywhere, but certain communities, certain layouts, certain types have seen much bigger increases. So every individual case is individual. So I'd advise tenants to go and check the river calculator themselves and see where they sit with it.
When we see some of the wild increases, over 100% in some cases, are people, in your opinion, and you know the people that you see coming to look for places, are they actually all able to afford this? Are we genuinely going to be priced out of the communities that we live in because of a huge influx of people? Or do you think actually we might see a bit more of a stabilization and maybe prices will come down?
maybe that could happen. We don't really know how it's going to affect the market exactly until it happens. And I mean, it's all depends on expectations. So when I moved to Dubai 3 years ago, I probably thought it was expensive then. And now, I think in comparison to now, you know, I probably wish I'd have gone for a 3-bed at the time rather than a 1-bed and be paying low rent. So people coming into the market now, they don't really know any different. It's the people that are in the market and have been for a couple of years that are paying low rents that now have an expectation of what they can get for that rent. But unfortunately, the market has moved and we have to move with the market. So, yeah, it's a scary time. One thing I would say, though.
Let's get the tissues.
If your renewal is within the next 90 days, as of now, and your landlord hasn't spoken to you, then he can't increase. Mm. He has to give you sufficient notice to increase. So if it's 89 days until the end of your contract and the landlord hasn't issued an increase, then he can't increase the rent. And again, he can only increase it as per the RERA index calculator by a maximum of 20% and no more.
Okay. So with the following update, will this benefit tenants or landlords more?
I think it's a little bit of a win-win for landlords, but it could also see a lot of stock come into the market if tenants are then, as you say, unfortunately having to be pushed out to other communities. It might free up stock in those communities, and therefore that could essentially bring prices down a little bit if more stock comes into the market. But that remains to be seen, so we'll have to see how much of an effect that has.
So, as an overall summary, how do you think it will affect property prices in the coming year?
I think prices in the communities, so if you go out towards maybe Dubai Land, if you go down to Sakeem and you're looking into like Mirror Oasis or Town Square, the Mac Hills, Moudon, even the Mac Hills 2, these are the communities that people, that has always been good value for money because it's a little bit further away. You might find that people are now having to move in the last year or so, that's been happening anyway. And as these communities are popping up, like Expo City and Umar South, a little bit further away, people are now having to, you know, compromise and understand that it might take them 45 minutes to get to work rather than 20 minutes and move out there. So they can essentially spend a similar amount, but your location is going to be a little bit different. Mm.
So has the RERA calculator influenced rental decisions?
Rental decisions?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's only relevant on renewal. So yeah, a lot of people take their eye off the mark. If you're not in real estate like us, you know, you probably just go to your job and you get on with it and you don't think about your rent, and then all of a sudden it's renewal and your landlord increases. You don't realize what's happened with the market. So it's out of sight, out of mind a little bit, and it will come as a surprise for a lot of people. So I think you just need to try and get ahead of it. Do check the calculator. Make sure that if you're unclear on any regulation, then reach out to a broker, a real estate agency that's trusted that can give you the right advice, or at the RDC, which is the Rental Dispute Centre, and they can get the right advice, or RERA.
I think that's really smart advice as tenants, just try and get ahead of it, just to be aware so it's not a major shock. before you coming on the show, we put the question to the audience if anyone had questions, and one or two came in that are quite specific. We've covered a few already, but someone is asking, so an increase apartment in Leanne community is 20%, while a villa increases 5%. Why is the value of the increase higher on apartments over villas?
It's not necessarily the type of property that matters. It's the market increase. So it's staggered. So if your current rent is 0 to 10% below the market rate, then they can't increase at all. And if it's 11 to 20%, they can increase by 5, 21 to 30%, then increase by 10%, and 31 to 40% is 15% increase, and anything over 40%, then increase by a maximum of 20%. So it doesn't really matter whether it's a villa or an apartment, it's just specific to that location or that unit type.
There's another question as well from our audience and as well from me. So is the rise of rent prices for everyone or only some specific areas?
Yeah, so there might be some that aren't applicable. You know, if you've not been there very long, then you might be paying fairly close to the market rate anyway. So therefore, the increase in the market rate has not been enough to justify a rental increase. You may find that landlords just try their luck and issue the rental increase anyway. So that's why you need to understand what your rights are as a tenant and seek the right advice and potentially reject those requests if they come through.
Just as we get towards the end of the show, just a question. Have you ever spoken to a landlord who struggles with the morality of adding 20% onto the rent? Say, for example, they've got someone in their home for about 2 years. And then, have you ever had those conversations?
Yeah, I'm sure there's lots of landlords out there that will see reason. And for a lot of landlords, a great tenant means more than the money. So it's their property at the end of the day. They might only have one unit, they might have 100 units. But sometimes having a good tenant that looks after that property, that is no hassle, that they have a good relationship with, means more to the landlord. Now, yes, we're talking about regulation in terms of actual specific increases. But there's nothing to suggest that you and your landlord can't have an open conversation and amicably agree a different increase.
Fair.
I mean, honestly, because I've told Casey, because we are actually planning on moving very soon. So it's just like the thought of like the price increase really scared me. Do you think that it's actually going to be that much of a big difference to people who would want to move from an area to another area in terms of like price increase and so on?
It's going to be difficult for the tenant because ultimately, you know, the new market average for a like-for-like unit is going to be a much bigger increase than the 20% maximum that you might be able to get as a landlord, as per the RERA calculator.
Yeah.
So if you were to just vacate because he wants 20% more, then you'd be paying a lot more to just get a like-for-like property as per the new market rates. So that would essentially mean you'd have to move further afield or change your criteria a little bit or compromise. So yeah, it depends on your situation, really.
And very finally, thank you so much for kind of giving that overview. And I do think it's a good reminder to us all to get ahead of it and also try and just have a conversation with your landlord. Hopefully you're both sound people and it should work out. Where can people learn more if they want to get more information?
Okay, yeah, you can visit the House and House website. My name is Jake Walton, so feel free to reach out to me direct. But yeah, the House and House website, Instagram, all the socials. You can find us all over.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time this morning. Guys, that brings us to the end of our show. We'll see you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.